This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. Today I'm joined in the studio by...
Arvind Yuvraj.
Just the two of us again today. And today is International Anti-Corruption Day. Mm-hmm. And of course, with that, some of the content today is going to be quite heavy, but I think it's going to be one of those topics that deserves discussion. It deserves debate. And of course, if you've spent any time in any part of Malaysia, you'll know that corruption is a thing,
mm-hmm.
and has been for quite some time.
We even have a liner that says bribe-free Malaysia.
Right. Yeah. In fact, I think we had some T-shirts for a while that said bribe-free Malaysian as well. Mm-hmm. Or were they stickers as well, didn't we?
Yep.
So, of course, we will be starting off today's show with a story about...
We're actually going to look back at something that came out last year just to give some perspective of where we are as a country in terms of corruption and how much we've lost.
Right. We'll then be looking at a digital platform over in the Democratic Republic of Congo that helps to fight corruption by bypassing the officials that are demanding bribes.
Mm-hmm.
Great idea. And then we'll be wrapping up with just a little bit from the Integrity Chief about how Malaysia's war on corruption is actually coming together.
Yep. Since it's, you know, Anti-Corruption Day, International Anti-Corruption Day, we thought we'd visit an article that came out around this time last year, December 19th, to be specific. The headline said, Malaysia has lost 47 billion ringgit to corruption. Mm. So that was a bleak and dark, sort of like no mincing words. Like, this is how much we've lost, and this is where we are as a country. So the reason we bring it up is because, one, it was only a year ago, so not too long ago, and two, at the time, it was a pretty shocking like revelation for all of us, because you know, we knew that the country was being bled dry with money disappearing everywhere, but we didn't fully understand to what extent corruption had really like taken over and ruined the country. So 47 billion is money that favored a select few, that was taken from the people who worked day in and day out to enjoy those benefits that they didn't get that amount. It's also 4% of the country's gross domestic product and nearly double of what it spent on healthcare for the entire nation. That is how much 47 billion ringgit is. And also, I think the number was also pretty shocking and pretty big. Is one, because there was a change of government, so there was the talk of more transparency. People are coming out and giving actual figures about how much we've lost. So, like I said, we knew that the country was struggling. We just didn't know how much. And, you know, after it came out, the bigger reveal was that the country was losing about the same amount annually since 2013. So it's not just a one-off thing, like a one-off number, like, oh, we've lost 47 billion, oh, we can recoup that. No, it's been doing that every year since 2013. And Malaysia fell to 62nd place on the Graph Watchdog Transparency International Annual Corruption Perceptions Index, its worst rank of all time. And this was mainly due to its failure to resolve major corruption scandals. Mm. And we know, everyone knows what he's talking about. But, you know, going further and breaking it down, about 19 billion, 4.5 billion US was allegedly laundered in the 1MDB case, according to the US Department of Justice. But the real kicker is that it's easy to point fingers at, or just to point at high profile cases and blame them for corruption cases. But the government made it clear that corruption happened a lot during mundane daily activities, such as trying to bribe away traffic summons, trying to bribe the person to get your license. You know, just paying someone money to get what you want became such a way of life and such a way of getting things done here. And that is where all the money just trickled down to. Not saying that, you know, you can just absolve the higher people of the government completely from responsibility, but it's also, it became such a...
And their wives, Arvs. Let's not forget their wives.
Sure, yeah. You know. And all the high-profile rankings and stuff. But it became such a way to do things that it became attached to a Malaysian way of life, which is shameful, which shouldn't be the way. And I think last year was the first time where everybody could just take a look and go like, okay, we've lost this much. What do we do? Like, you know, what can we do next? We're starting fresh, new government. And how do we make sure that this, you know, just basically never happens again?
Mm. Now, it's interesting that you say it's become a Malaysian way of life.
Mm.
When I first moved here, mm-hmm. and I realized that was a thing, I was pretty shocked by it.
Yeah.
But it didn't take me too long to kind of understand how deeply ingrained it was, mm-hmm. and how, to a degree, you had to, whether or not you wanted to, you had to participate in that culture somehow or another.
To get things done.
To get things done. I remember I was on my way to Ipoh, I think it was, mm-hmm. And I was a passenger in a car, and we had inadvertently gone into a traffic lane that we shouldn't have done, and turned left when we shouldn't have done, and we got pulled over by a policeman. Not all policemen are like this. I should say that up straight. But this particular policeman was. And he pulled us over, and we said, okay, we apologize. We're new in this area. We didn't know we had to do this. And he said, well, I'm going to summon you. And so we were like, okay, fine. Give us the summons. And of course, he didn't want to give us the summons. He wanted something else. Mm-hmm. And I flatly refused to give him money, and he got really upset about this, and we were just like, no, give us the summons, that's the way it should be done. And he was just like, no, just
yeah.
And it became, I think from that point I'm like, well, you don't have a choice, people didn't have a choice for the longest time. And when they found out these kind of numbers, and it struck people just how much it was and how much it balloons to, mm-hmm. I think for a while people stopped doing that. They stopped participating. They put their foot down. They said, no, not anymore. And it kind of makes me wonder, has that really changed in the year since we saw those figures, do you think?
I mean, hopefully. I don't think, they also made it very clear that it can't be solved overnight, so it's a long-term thing. I guess we'll have to look back maybe 5 years from now to see how things have changed, whether things have changed, if they got any better or not. But the good thing is that maybe just online, or specifically online, people responded in a way this is money that the people were supposed to have.
Yeah.
This is money that was supposed to be, funneling in and out in an official way, in a legal way, but now it's money that is unaccounted for, money that's disappeared, money that's been bled from the country. Mm. And I think once sentiment like that starts to creep up, then people want to take action. They're like, look, it's our money, whether it's with you as an individual, or it's with you in it's for your kids who go to school, and it's for other people who can use it. It's for certain groups who can't afford certain things, whether it's for healthcare in the long run. It's money that was supposed to be with the people that's not with the people anymore. I think that sort of sparked something with the public, and they were looking at how to fix this. But it's not a short-term thing. They made it super clear that it's going to take a lot of work. The damage has been done. There's got to be a lot of awareness, a lot of people learning what corruption is and how far corruption goes, and especially what it does to the country, because it clearly says that when you have less corruption, you get more investments coming in. Not fly-by-night investments, actual investments coming in, and people who want to do business in your country. And when foreign entities and big tech groups want to do business in your country, like Singapore, then your quality of life goes up.
We are going to take a short break, ladies and gents. This discussion, of course, will be happening all the way throughout today's show. It is International Anti-Corruption Day here on BFM. Me and Arvo will be discussing that. We've got more stuff coming up a little bit later on about a digital platform that fights corruption by bypassing the officials who demand bribes. And then we have a little bit from the Integrity Chief of Malaysia. Malaysia's war on corruption is, in fact, coming together. More discussion coming up throughout the show. If you'd like to get in touch, leave us any comments. 018-789-8899 is the number on WhatsApp, Twitter, or Instagram. We are at BFM Radio. Music coming up right now. We'll be back in just a few moments here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Bribe-free Malaysia? BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. Today, I'm joined in the studio by
Arvind Yuvraj.
Today is also International Anti-Corruption Day. We're discussing that all the way throughout the day, I assume, here on BFM. Mm-hmm. I've just kicked us off with a story about $47 billion
that was bled from the country because of corruption, and it's been doing it every year since 2013.
Now, of course, it's only in the last weeks, months, that mm-hmm. we've started to learn just where some of this money has gone to. Yeah. We're hearing, obviously, when way back about a year ago, we heard about a huge amount of money that was stored in a private home, should we say, and there was some other stuff. But we're hearing now about credit card usages and one thing or another. And, you know, it's that kind of blatant corruption, I think, that a lot of Malaysians have taken. They're extremely annoyed with it, you know. At that point when you realize that these people really, really, really did not care about anybody else but themselves.
Yeah.
That Malaysians went, you know, this is enough. And I think this is why it's important that these kind of things are continued to be reported. And when we do hear about corruption, whether or not it's from, you know, somebody trying to or having to pay for their traffic summons or wanting to pay for their licenses, you know, these little things I feel are as important to be recognized as corruption as the bigger things are.
Yeah, not just the high profile stuff, like even the daily things that people do. If you're giving someone money to get a job done and that's not the way to do it, if you're getting an easy way out, then that's corruption. I mean, just, you know, call a spade kind of thing. It still boils down to corruption. Even if it's small amounts of cash, if you keep doing it, it's going to be ingrained in the Malaysian culture. And I don't think that's something we want to be associated with. It's not something that's nice for the country. Just looking at, like, we always talk about Singapore. Like, we always look at Singapore and go, like, how is Singapore able to do, you know, so well in, like, the tech scene? How are they so good with getting investments? Why is everyone in Singapore, the big guys, the Facebooks, the Googles, the Apples, the Vices, all of them? And then we question why they don't come here. And one of the big reasons was corruption. I'm not going to say was. Is corruption, unless we, like, completely, you know, stomp this out. It was because there's so much going on under the surface that maybe companies were not comfortable sort of, you know, putting their roots down here, like bigger companies. Singapore, I'm not saying they are free from corruption, but they are relatively so much better. They are, you know, they have a cleaner system. They enforce their laws. They make sure that things are done the clean way, you know, for better or worse, whatever they do there. So they get people coming in, putting in their money, and they have a better quality of life. That's just how it is. So, you know, if we are looking at, like, other people around us and going how they can grow and how they can upgrade themselves, one of the biggest things they do is make sure that they don't have corruption in their system.
I mean, you look at places like Japan and South Korea, for example. South Korea in particular, not too long ago, when one of the families that one of the bigger families was found to be hugely corrupt, and you know, it was a public shaming. You know, they were brought up in front of everybody. They were made to, like, confess how much money they'd taken and how they damaged the company and one thing or another. And we talk about China public shaming people who have not paid their traffic summonses and whatever, and we kind of condemn that to a degree. But I understand why citizens might feel the need for that to happen, you know?
Yeah. But also, I think it was shocking for so many people about how they treated that situation and how remorseful and how, you know, ashamed they were that something like this would happen. And that's how it should be. It shouldn't be like you know, they're corrupt and whatever, you know, just find them or, you know, do whatever you must. They took it personally. Like we don't want to be associated with culture like this. We want to be as far away from it as possible. And that's how they treated something like corruption. Even look at, you know, if you want to get help for your home, you know, they have, like, signages for, you know, the maid agencies and stuff. So many of them operate on that concept. It's an open secret. Like, you can't get things done if there is no, you know, quote-unquote secret money happening behind the scenes, which, again, shouldn't be the way that we do things.
We're going to take a break, folks. When we come back, we'll be discussing a digital platform that fights corruption by bypassing the officials who demand bribes over in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Very interesting little story. That's coming up in just a few minutes. If you'd like to get in touch, 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. Twitter or Instagram, as usual, we're at BFM Radio. Music coming right up right now. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.